He wore plain black pants and shirt and a black leather belt. He no longer had a lightsaber, though he'd started constructing another one using the plans he'd found in an old leather-bound book at Ben Kenobi's. It was a traditional exercise for a Jedi, so he'd been told. It had given him something to do while his new hand had finished final bonding to his arm. It had kept him from thinking too much. The lights under the canopy were dim. He could barely see the stranded steel line. The carnival was done for the night, the acrobats and dewbacks and jesters long asleep. The crowds had gone home, and he was alone. Alone here with the tightrope. It was quiet. The only sound, the creak of the Sin tent fabric, as it cooled in the arms of the Tatooine summer night. The hot desert day gave up its heat quickly, and it was cold enough outside the tent to need a jacket. The smell of the dewbacks drifted up to where he perched and mingled with that of his own sweat. A guard whose mind had accepted Luke's mental command to allow him inside the giant tent stood watch at the entrance, blind now to his presence. A Jedi skill, that kind of control, but another one he had only begun to learn. Luke took a deep breath, let it out slowly. There was no net below, and a fall from this height would surely be fatal. He didn't have to do this. Nobody was going to make him take the walk. Nobody but himself. He calmed his breathing, his heartbeat, and, as much as possible, his mind, using the method he had learned. First, Ben, then Master Yoda had taught him the ancient arts. Yoda's exercises had been the more rigorous and exhausting, but unfortunately, Luke had not finished his schooling. There really hadn't been any choice at the time. Han and Leia had been in deadly danger, and he'd had to go to them. Because he had gone, they were alive, but that hadn't turned out well. No, not at all. And there had been the meeting with Vader. He felt his face tighten, his jaw muscles dance, and he fought the anger that surged up in him like a hormonal tide as black as the clothes he wore. His wrist ached suddenly where Vader's lightsaber had sliced through it. The new hand was as good as the old, better maybe, but sometimes when he thought about Vader, it throbbed. Phantom limb pain, the medics had said, not real. I'm your father. No, that couldn't be real either. His father had been Anakin Skywalker, a Jedi. If only he could talk to Ben or to Yoda. They would confirm it. They would tell him the truth. Vader had tried to manipulate him, had tried to throw him off balance, that was all. But what if it was true? No, leave it. It wouldn't help to dwell on that now. He wasn't going to be able to do anybody any good unless he mastered his Jedi skills. He had to trust in the Force and move on, no matter what lies Vader had spewed. There was a war on, much to do, and while he was a good pilot, he was supposed to have more to offer to the Alliance. It wasn't easy, and it didn't seem to be getting any easier. He wished he felt sure of himself, but the fact was he didn't. He felt as if a weight were riding on him more than he'd ever thought possible. A few years ago, he'd been a farm boy, working with Uncle Owen, going nowhere. Now there was Han, the Empire, the Alliance, Vader. No, not now. That's in the past and in the future. This wire is the now. Concentrate, or you're going to fall off it. He reached for the energy, felt the flux begin to flow. It was bright and warm and life-giving, and he called it to himself, sought to wrap it around his form like a suit of armor. The Force. Once again, it was there for him. Yes. But there was something else there, too. In a place that was removed, but somehow right next to him, he felt that pull he had been told about. A hard, powerful coldness, the opposite of what his teachers had presented to him. The antithesis of light. That which Vader embraced. The dark side. No, he pushed it away, refused to look at it. Took another deep breath, felt the Force permeate him, felt it attune itself to him. Or maybe it was the other way around. It didn't matter. When they were one, he started to walk. The high wire suddenly seemed as wide as a public sidewalk. It was natural, the Force, but this part always felt like magic, as if he could do miracles using it. He'd seen Yoda raise the X-Wing from the swamp using his mind. It was possible to do things that might look like miracles. As he lifted his foot to take another step, he remembered other things about his time on Dagobah. Under the soft, damp ground in the cave, Darth Vader came toward him. Vader, here, how could that be? Luke pulled his lightsaber, lit it, brought it up. The gleaming blue white of his blade met Vader's reddish beam as they crossed in on guard salute. The power hum and energy crackle grew louder. Suddenly, Vader swung a powerful cut at Luke's left side. Luke jerked his blade up and over, dropped the point, blocked the slash. It hit so hard it vibrated him, nearly tore his lightsaber from his grip. He smelled the mold around him, heard the power hum of the lightsabers, saw Vader with crystal clarity. All his senses came to life, as sharp as they'd ever been, sharp as a warehouse full of vibro-shivs. Vader cut again, now at Luke's head, and Luke's panicked overhead block barely stopped it. Barely. He was so strong. Again Vader chopped at him, a blow that would have cut Luke in half had he not jammed his own weapon out just in time. Vader was too strong for him, Luke knew. Only his anger could save him from being killed. He remembered Ben, remembered Vader hacking him down. Unthinking rage drove him. Luke whipped his blade around backhanded, all of his arm and shoulder and wrists behind it, and the cut took Vader's head off. Time seemed to drag like some heavy anchor. He stared. Vader's body dropped, oh so slowly, and the severed head fell to the ground and rolled. Rolled, then stopped. There was no blood. There came a bright flash, a sudden blast of light and purple smoke, and the mask covering Vader's face shattered and vanished, revealing the face of Luke Skywalker. No. The insurgent memory had flashed by much faster than the events had actually taken. He had moved but a single step in reality. Amazing what one's mind could do. Even so, he nearly fell from the wire as he lost contact with the Force. Stop this, he told himself. He took a deep breath, balanced uneasily, reached for the Force again. There, he had it. He steadied, started walking, one with the Force again, flowing. Halfway across the wire, he started to run. He told himself it was part of the test. He told himself that the Force was with him and he could live up to his name without fear, that anything was possible to one trained as a Jedi Knight. It was what he had been taught. He wanted to believe it. He didn't want to believe that he ran because he could feel the dark side walking the wire behind him, cat-footed and evil, following him. Following like the memory of his face on Vader's severed head, following and gaining. Zizor leaned back in his form chair. The chair, which had a bad circuit he kept meaning to have repaired, took this move as an inquiry. Its vox chip said, "What is your wish, Prince Shizor?" It slurred his name, dragging out the first syllable. He shook his head. "Nothing save that you be silent," he said. The chair's vox shut up. The machineries within the cloned leather seat hummed and adjusted the support to Zizor's new position. He sighed. He was rich beyond the income of many entire planets, and he had a malfunctioning form chair that couldn't even pronounce his name correctly. He made a note to have it replaced, now, today, immediately, as soon as he was finished with his business here this morning. He looked at the 1/6 scale holoprod frozen in front of him, then up at the woman standing across the desk. She was as beautiful, if not as ethnic, as the two epicanthic women fighters in the holograph between them. But her beauty was of a different order. She had long and silky blonde hair, pale and clear blue eyes, an exquisite figure. Normal human males would find her attractive. There were no flaws in Guri's face or form, but there was a coolness about her, and that was easily explained if you knew the reason. Guri was an HRD, a human replica droid, and unique. She could visually pass for a woman anywhere in the galaxy, could eat, drink, and perform all of the more personal functions of a woman without anybody the wiser. And she was the only one of her kind programmed to be an assassin. She could kill without raising her ersatz heartbeat, never a qualm of conscience. She'd cost him 9 million credits. Zizor steepled his fingers and raised an eyebrow at Guri. "The Pike sisters," Guri said, glancing at the hollow. genetic twins, not clones. The one on the right is Zahn, the other is Zhu. Zahn has green eyes, Zhu has one green and one blue eye, the only noticeable difference. They are masters of the Teras Kashi. The Bunduki are called steel hands. 26 standard years old, no political affiliations, no criminal records in any of the major systems, and as far as we are able to determine, completely amoral. They are for hire to the highest bidder, and they have never worked for Black Sun. They have also never been defeated in open combat. This, she nodded at the unmoving Holoproj image again, is what they do for fun when they aren't working. Guri's voice was, in contrast to her appearance, warm, inviting, a rich alto. She activated the hologram. Zizor smiled, revealing his own perfect teeth. The holo had shown the two women mopping the floor with 8 Imperial stormtroopers in some rat's nest of a spaceport bar. The soldiers had been big, strong, well-trained, and armed. The women weren't even breathing hard when they finished. "They'll do," he said. "Make it happen." Guri nodded once, turned, and left. She looked as good from behind as she did from the front. $9 million and worth every decacred. He wished he had a dozen more like her. Unfortunately, her creator was no longer among the living. A pity. So, 2 more hand-picked assassins now under his command. Assassins with no ties to Black Sun, not before, and with Guri's expert manipulation, not ever. Zizor glanced up at the ceiling. He had the pattern of the galaxy installed into the glow tiles. When the lights were dim, and they usually were, he had an edge-on view of the home galaxy floating holographically there, with more than 1 million individual glowing dust small stars hand-drawn in it. It had taken the artist 3 months and had cost a warlord's ransom, but the Dark Prince could not spend what he already had, even if he tried hard, and more than that kept flowing in all the time. Credits were nothing. He had billions. A way of keeping score, that was all. Not important. He looked at the holograph again. Beautiful and deadly, these two, a combination he enjoyed. He himself was of the Fallen, a species whose distant ancestors had been reptilian, and who had evolved into what was generally considered the most beautiful of all humanoid species. He was over 100 years old, but he looked 30. He was tall, had a top-knot ponytail jutting up from his otherwise bald head, and a hard body crafted by stim units. He also exuded natural pheromones that made most of the human stock species feel instantly attracted to him, and his skin color, normally a dusky green, changed with the rise of those pheromones, shading from the cool into the warm spectrum. His handsomeness and appeal were tools, nothing more. He was the Dark Prince, underlord of Black Sun, one of the 3 most powerful men in the galaxy. He could also kick a sun fruit off the top of a tall humanoid's head without a warm-up stretch, and he could lift twice his own weight over his head using only his own muscles. He could claim a sound, if admittedly devious, mind in a sound body. His galactic influence was surpassed only by the Emperor and the Dark Lord of the Sith, Darth Vader. He smiled at the image before him again. 3rd, but about to become 2nd, if his plans went as intended. It had been months since he'd overheard the Emperor and Vader talking of a threat they'd perceived. Months, and now the preliminaries were done. Zizor was ready to move in earnest. "Time," he said. His room computer answered and gave it to him. Ah, only an hour remained before his meeting. It was but a short walk through the protected corridors to Vader's, not much beyond where the Emperor's massive gray-green stone and mirror crystal palace thrust itself up into the high atmosphere. A few kilometers, no more. A brisk stroll would put him there in a few minutes. No hurry. He did not want to arrive early. A chime announced a visitor. "Enter," Zizor said. His bodyguards were not here, but there was no need for them in his sanctum. No one could penetrate its defenses. And only a few of his underlings had the right to visit him here, all of them loyal as fear could make them. One of his sub-lieutenants, Maith Duvel, came in and bowed low. "My prince, Zizor." Yes. I have a petition from the Nasridi organization. They wish an alliance with Black Sun. Zizor gave Duval a measured smile. I'm sure they do. Duval produced a small package. They offer a token of their esteem. Zizor took the package, thumbed it open. Inside was a gem. It was an oval-cut, blood-red Tumanian pressure ruby, a very rare stone, apparently flawless, and easily worth several million credits. The Dark Prince held it up, turned it in his fingers, nodded. Then he tossed it onto his desktop. It bounced once, slid to a stop next to his drinking cup. If it had fallen onto the floor, he would not have bent to retrieve it. And if the cleaning droid came in later and sucked it up, well, so what? Tell them we'll consider it. Duval bowed and backed away. When he was gone, Zizor stood, stretched his neck and back. The evolved reptilian ridge over his spine elevated slightly, felt sharp against his fingertips as he rubbed it. There were other applicants waiting to see him, and ordinarily he would sit and attend to their petitions, but not today. Now it was time to go and see Vader. By going there instead of insisting that Vader come here, he was giving away an advantage, appearing to be himself a supplicant. No matter, that was part of it. There must not seem to be any contention between them. No one must suspect that he felt anything but the greatest respect for the Dark Lord of the Sith. Not if his plans were going to succeed. And succeed they would. He did not doubt it. Because they always did. 2. Leia sat in a bad cantina in the bad part of Mos Eisley. You really had to work at it to earn both of these low distinctions. Calling this place a dive would have elevated it 4 notches. The table was expanded metal, aluminum plate turned into a cheap and easy-to-clean mesh. Probably they used a high-pressure solvent hose to wash everything into that drain in the middle of a sunken spot over there in the floor.